Good evening, America. Tonight on Eric A. Sinati Unplugged, I am talking directly to every man and woman in this country who has the courage, the gumption to step forward into public life. If you raise your head above the crowd here in America right now, if you are running for office or you want to sit on a school board, a city council, a state legislature, or even run for Congress, you are not just stepping into an everyday debate, folks. You're stepping into a threat environment. School board members are receiving death threats daily. Local officials are being harassed at their very homes. National figures are living with security concerns every single time they walk onto a stage or they even post something online about a location that they may be. But this republic, folks, this republic was not built on people who hid from danger. Far from that. It was built on the very backs of men and women who stepped forward anyway with courage, with discipline, and with a well-orchestrated plan. Our founding fathers signed their names knowing that the prices would be their very head. Generations of Americans have stood posts, walked patrols, and defended this flag under fire. I am one of them, I tell you. It is a great honor. So if you are going to lead in this country in 2025, folks, you owe it to your family, your staff, your supporters, to be just as serious about your security and safety as you are about your political views. And tonight, I'm not going to cover this one alone. With me is United States Marine Corps veteran, a counterintelligence specialist, a seasoned tactical operator, and the mind behind the infamous Jarhead Tactical. He was promoted and selected and promoted by the Commandant of... Folks, we're talking about selected and promoted by the Commandant of the Marine Corps. Not just a letter or whatever, the actual commandant. This is a distinction that is of the most highest trust and respect and honor that most Marines will never, ever, ever experience or even know somebody who did. He's highly trained on real world risk management. He is experienced and trained in intelligence operations, counterintelligence operations, anti-terrorism operations, and risk assessment. He's experienced, he's a trainer, knowledgeable on protective details and how to turn everyday Americans into situationally aware professionals. And you know, we talk about that on all my shows. In a world where we can no longer grant a second chance, we need people like my guest tonight, Mike the Marine, Mac. Tonight's episode is called Targeted, How Political Leaders Stay Alive in a Raging Nation. We're going to go over some key topics tonight. Number one, explaining why every serious political leader needs a professional, layered security team at every level, at every event, no matter it be local or large. Number two, we're going to walk through how to make your public schedule predictable for the right people and unpredictable for those bad actors. Very important. We're going to show you number three, why the digital and communication security are now just ever as important as a physical security safety plan. Number four, we're going to break down situational awareness at public events that can mean the difference between a close call, which President Trump faced in Butler, Pennsylvania, or a potential catastrophic failure, which could end in somebody's life. Number five, we're going to talk about how strong community relationships can reduce hostility by lowering the temperature and making it harder to dehumanize somebody into a target. And I think that is key. When we look at Charlie Kirk as an example, he's been dehumanized. People are not looking at him as a man, a father, a husband. They're seeing him as a target. When did that happen? We have to stop that. No fantasy heroics, no macho posturing, no pretending. It could never happen here. Just real world protected thinking from a Marine, an intel, counter-intel, tactical specialist who has lived through it, along with myself, a lawyer slash veteran who has seen what happens when leaders ignore that. I am Eric A. Sinati, and this is Eric A. Sinati Unplugged. And we thank you for being with us another night. Let's bring in Mac. Mac, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
All right, oh, you doing
Eric,
a little voice.
It's a pleasure. Eric, it's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure, Mac, pleasure. Well, you know, put a little cosmetic out of the way. Mac and I go way back. He was one of my trainers. So we are very good friends, but he helped me get to where I am today. I thank you. I guess you could say we did some farming together, right, Mac? We
farmed together. It's an honor to be of service, Eric.
Thank you. So before we get into our segments, I want to give you, 30 seconds, a minute to whatever I didn't include in your introduction to tell the folks what you want. Welcome. Say it. Go for it. The floor is yours.
Oh, thank you so much. You've pretty much covered everything. I mean, what we do now with Jarhead Tactical is, we do the three T's. We teach individuals, mostly, regular people, man, on our YouTube and on our podcast, my three T's: tools, techniques, and tactics. This is to give you and empower the average person to have peak preparedness, because it's right. Just like, changing your oil in your car. It's just like, being aware when you take your kids to school. You have to do it on a regular basis. And that's what we're talking about today.
Yep. Well, Mike, we're going to break into segments. I'm going to give the title of the segment, give a little brief information, and then we're going to round table it. All right, brother?
Yes, sir.
So segment one, building a layered security team. So let's start with the first pillar. A professional layered security team is key. If you are in public office or you are a serious candidate for it, you should not be moving alone. Do not feel, oh, I'm trying to be bigger than I am or not having an entourage. It's not about that. Security must be taken serious. You need a protective detail, not a vanity. It's not about being arrogant or saying I'm great or better. It's about being a responsible leader, especially if you are going to move into a leadership position. It's your responsibility. From the advanced site assessments to secure transportation to coordination with local law enforcement, this is how true professionals operate. It is just as important that these rings are involved in every single one of your events. The outer ring controls parking, transportation routes, event check-in, check-out, screening the attendees you're surrounding. The middle ring manages the crowd, the flow, tripwire surveillance, posturing for early detection of threats. And then the inner ring, close protection, the last line of defense. This is the ring that is fully engaged when the outer layers have failed. This is what failed during the Charlie Kirk assassination and the Trump attempt. Those layers either failed or were not in place or just broke down. So, Mac, let's explain how these rings work in a real world and why every leader needs them. Let's open it up. What say you?
Oh, shush, my cat now is yelling. Well, first of all, the outer ring, we were talking about the three layers, but you and I wanted to bring this up. There is a fourth layer. The fourth layer is the community. And what right. needs to happen is, these folks.
And you know what? I want to cut you off. I want to cut because what did I say? You made me say something before. It made me think of it. So the folks out, when he said the fourth ring, I thought of something. Everybody has a local sheriff in their community. That word comes from Shire Reeve, which comes from England, which is where the community polices itself. And that's exactly what you're going to say the fourth layer is, right? Right, Mac?
Yes, sir. And the community also will feel, I believe that the community will also, and the individuals going to an event, they will feel safer. They will feel more involved because they are, you know, you have 500 people there, right? That's right. 1,000 eyeballs, okay, that can be looking right. around. Now, I'm not talking about ruining the event and them being, you know, hyper aware. I'm just talking about noticing things, but, you know, cars in the wrong place.
And you know what, Matt, and the listeners and the viewers need to know that besides being my trainer, you and I have done this, whether it be writing the intel reports in preparation, serving on advanced teams, serving in close quarter protection. We've done this. We've done this. He trained me. I've done this. He's done this. I've served it with TMU, the threat mitigation unit, the people that don't exist in the ring. So listen to what Mac is saying here, because he is an expert. And I just wanted to make sure that folks knew that.
And also, that you always cover on your show, that I have to give you props to, Eric, is, you know, we want you, the average person, to be able to understand what we're communicating, because it doesn't matter. I mean, it's pertinent what our background and experience is, but when push comes to shove on the day of the event, it's more important that you understand the mechanics of what we're trying to explain to you, so you can employ them.
Muscle memory.
Your church, your community, going to the grocery store. You know, these are things that right now that Jarhead Tactical is focused on.
Right. And I've seen some recent videos of you training people in firearms and QBC, close quarter. I mean, I got to tell you, I learned a lot from you. You're an amazing instructor, handler. You got me to do some amazing things. We've been some amazing places, and you're the best. I'm so glad that you're here.
No, I appreciate it. And but it's like, you know, we always say about, you know, if you can't teach somebody else, what is the knowledge worth?
So that's right. But you know what? Go finish. Go ahead.
We were just talking about the fourth layer. You know, the three-layered security has been around forever, but my opinion is that the community needs to be the fourth layer. They can be the fourth layer.
Absolutely. You know, eyes and ears. And, you know, I want to say something, too, because this is done a lot by people. We are giving you tradecraft, what we would call in our world, in the intelligence world, tradecraft. But we're not giving you things that are over, things that are considered classified at this point. We're not giving you the manual. We are giving you the basics of tradecraft on how this is done and how people like Mac and myself have kept presidents and other people safe for years. So, Mac, we're going to move into segment two, all right? You good with that?
Yes, sir.
Predictable and unpredictable scheduling. So here's the next survival rule, folks. Be predictable to your people. They expect that, right? But unpredictable to the bad actor. That means no public live streaming your location. This is just basic stuff, but I feel like I got to say it anyway. That means not just shouting out everything you're doing all the time. No exact schedules, days, and times in advance. Mac and I will talk about presidential schedules and how they move. No set routes to and from and arrival and departure windows. Hostile actors, bad people, look for pattern analysis. They track your stops. They are watching your habits. And Mac and I will tell you, I'm trained in this counter intel. It's called counterintelligence. I learned the other person's patterns. That's what we do to look for bad actors on our side. That's what they're doing to hurt us and hurt these people. So, Mac, how do you break the predictability without losing access and trust to your supporters? Because I think that's key. And I want to preface this with one thing that's not in my notes. I remember in training when we did the walkthrough for close protection for the inner layer, and the candidate is walking around shaking hands, and how we have to be there and fit in, but not look like an armored up guy, and also allow the candidate to shake hands and interact. So that's kind of what I was asking. How do you do this? How does somebody do this and still remain, accessible to the people?
You're talking about a politician or an individual?
Anybody, yeah, politics. But I mean, like, basically, like, you're breaking the predictable patterns, but you're not breaking.
The most important part of breaking predictable patterns is communication with your security team. You know, how close do you want them to follow behind you? You know, within reason.
Right.
You need to communicate. We have a pre-meeting, okay, with the client or the protectee, and before an event, and we say, you know, what are your preferences?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, how do you want us to communicate with you? How far behind do you want us? When do you want us to intervene? Yeah. You know, and those are the three top questions. How close? When do you want us to intervene? And then there's a safe word. Okay. Say you're in a crowd and you're shaking hands and you get, and the client gets nervous. They have a safe word. I mean, that's funny. You may think that's funny, but that's true trait.
It's not. They're scared. They're saying that they're scared.
When your child goes to a fair, okay, I would never let my son out of sight until he was, even when he was 16, but we always had a safe word. He would either text.
Isn't that the nature of our business? We see all the negatives, and I think it keeps our family safe, but I think it robs them a little bit of some fun.
I know. My ex-wife. Oh, yeah.
Generation Z Rose is saying her father, your father's in law enforcement, though, Rose. That was your mom's doing. Okay. She said she had safe words, she was saying.
My kids, since they were little, and they're two, and my sons are 28, 22 now.
Right.
And it's not a big deal. In fact, we made it a little bit of a game, but with the politicians, not a game. But here's the problem. What happened with Charlie Kirk? What happened with the president in Pennsylvania? Which layer broke down? I don't see any communication in that regards, and that's okay. Because when something happens,
I think one of the key ones, Mac, was communication with local law enforcement.
There you go. But what I'm saying is that needs to be the focus. What can we do better? You know, the hand wringing and the poor me.
We need to not bloviate on our soapbox. We need to come up with solutions, and that's what you're doing tonight.
What I like about you, Eric, is you present solutions that are comprehensive, and that is that's how we prevent these things from. Are you going to prevent it 100%? You're not, but you're going to.
But you know what? You know why I'm like that, Mac? Because you trained that in me, and you were pretty tough on keeping me and learning this, and it's muscle memory.
God is great. God is great. It is muscle memory. It's exactly like anything else that you exercise daily. You read daily. Right. You try to eat healthy daily. You're aware of where your kids are. My ex-wife was like, she called me Mike McDermott Security. Because my kids, when we went to the movies, they had to tell me, I mean, they're 7 years old. They had to tell me where the closest exits were.
We were talking about this offset, right, Mac? I said, I go to an Italian restaurant, right? And if they don't serve alcohol, it's BYOB. Then I'm always going to sit in, and I'm going to sit in the chair with my back to the wall, and I'm going to see the door, and I'm going to see the kitchen entrance. I'm going to have this in my peripherals and in front of me. I'm going to be prepared for egress, places to leave in an emergency, places where bad actors can come in. And what I was saying about the BYOB is if somebody comes in, hold that thought. When they come in with the bag and it's not a BYOB and they're bringing in a bottle bag, that's something I'm going to grab and say, well, that's not normal. But that's how you and I think. That's muscle memory. That's not how the average person does, though.
No, and the average person can still pay attention. You know, I want you to, you know, you should have fun when you're out. You don't want to be, this is not paranoia. This is just preparedness.
But that's what terrorism is, folks. That's what it is. Let's define terrorism. Thank you, Mac, for saying that. What is the definition of terrorism? The definition of terrorism is not blowing up something, not doing this, not the actual act. It is the behavior of what it is you allege. You don't even have to do it. You can just threaten it. It is changing the everyday pattern of people, and the people live in fear. You now won. That's terrorism. It's not the actual death or dismemberment or catastrophe. It is the fact that people change the pattern of their lives, and that is terroristic. So we're going to move on to segment three, Mac. You good with that?
Yes, sir.
You with me? All right.
Rock and roll.
Let's do it. Digital communication and security in the modern age. In 2025, folks, almost every serious threat starts in the digital space before it becomes physical. It just does. Your phone, your staffers, emails, your online activity are all targets all the time. No encryption, you're crazy. No two-factor authentication, you're crazy. No training your staff, you're even more crazy. You're leaving yourself wide open. Mac, let's explain to the folks how the digital perimeter has become part of the real world safety plan.
Well, that's interesting because there's a terminology called doxing prevention. And doxing is an all-encompassing word.
Define that for the folks at home. Define doxing.
Well, it's an all-encompassing word of what you just said. It's layered protection against an incursion from whatever digital source. Okay, but right. You mentioned some great preventative methods, two-step authentication. You can always say, like, for example, I use Avast Security. It's like a damn vault. It's not expensive. I also have my own IP address that changes every 30 minutes.
It rotates every 30 seconds, mine.
Expensive. What Eric and I are recommending to you is...
We're on the inside, Mac. We're cheating the people. We're on the inside. We get these things. We're trained. We know how to use them. And we have access to them.
It's practical, useful tools for the everyday person.
Right.
And the politician.
Right. And you probably walk around with a Faraday bag too, right, Mike?
This is a Faraday bag for my phone, okay? Now,
for the folks out there that are not watching, he's holding up a bag that you put your cell phone device in, and it blocks all radio signals. See, back in the day, I'm getting old, Mac. Back in the day, I had my BlackBerry. You took the battery out, and then you truly were dead to the world.
Doesn't work anymore.
And you held the button down for a couple seconds to drain the residual power, and it was done. Now your phone is always pinging a tower. If you're people watching YouTube and they hear about a mesh system, and they're saying, "Oh, that's a great no, that's Bluetooth on everybody else's phone communicating for you. Your phone is talking about you everywhere." 24 hours a day. And that's what he was holding a Faraday bag. Protection on that. IP address static. I can make my phone appear to be wherever I want. I'm not a VPN, some standard stuff. You know, Mac, we're talking some real stuff. I can make my phone be in LA right now and ring in LA, but really show up in DC. And these are things that are maybe not our tradecraft and they're not 100% available to the public, but there are some that you people like you can train people how to use.
Faraday bag. I got it on Timo for $8.
Right, and actually, we are an official affiliate with. We are part of the Amazon world, so we can drop a link up on here for that. If you were interested in Faraday bags, and any other things that Mac might talk about, you have anything else to add on that segment, Mac?
No. Once again, it's not, and there's no end all be all. Okay, as you know, Eric. When you're talking about protection, layer protection, even with, we're only halfway through.
We got time.
Talk about layer protection. The suggestions that we're making are, number one, they're cost effective. They're available. And it's a layered approach. Not one thing is going to protect you from everybody and everything. But what I used to tell my son, okay, he said the other day, Dad, they're going to get in. I was like, yeah, but. I'm going to slow them down because in your house, for example, I do house protection. Okay. Your protection is layered. Okay. Because they're going to get in eventually. Okay. But if you have a minute or 2 minutes, that's a long time to be prepared to call 911 or do what other protective measure that you're going to do. That's what these things do. The Faraday bag, etc. When, for example, every politician should not have their cell phone anywhere near them or in a Faraday bag when they were at an event. They got plenty of people that can communicate for them because there's so many sophisticated surveillance that's available to, I want to say, the bad people that they can zero in on their location from not even knowing where they are. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, right. Are we ready to rock and roll into four?
You got another minute, brother.
Oh, all right. The floor is yours. I'm not interrupting you.
We got another minute. Unless you want to segue, if you want to segue into the next segment, that would be good. Let's do that.
Right. Yeah. Did that come up on the screen? Okay. We'll segue it in. Let's segue it in.
Maintain situational awareness.
Yep. Maintain situational awareness. which I say, if you watch, if you watch and listen to the Hostile Zone, I have my tagline, 360 times 365. 180 degrees forward your head, 180 behind you. Your head's on a swivel 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, because danger doesn't take a day off. That is situational awareness. You're walking into a venue, folks, a town hall, a rally, a meet and greet. What's your posture? And not your posture on how you sit. What's your posture on how you are going to be when you go in there? Do you know your exits, your point of egress? Do you have eyes on things going on in that room that you want to see and things you don't want to see? Things that, you know, I would say bug your spidey sense, you know? Are your team members posted where it truly counts? Situational awareness is not a term, folks. You get beat on it in our, in Mac and I's world, but it's a mindset. It's a presence. It is a survival mechanism that cannot be understated enough. Mac, walk us through how a leader stays switched between in and out, being on guard and off guard.
You're talking about in their residence or where they're
everywhere. Situational awareness. To walk us through how, like, you know, how a leader stays switches on and off between together.
What I did and what I think should be done is, once again, it goes back to communication. You have to communicate with your team and you have to ask them, okay, we're going to transition to this area where you're going to be outside and I'm going to be inside. What form of communication do you want us to do? Do you want to have hand signals? Do you want us to have text communication, which I wouldn't recommend because it can be picked up? Shortwave radios are really great because they can't.
Somebody was talking about that. Can you explain shortwave a little bit? Because I heard somebody else talking about that online.
You can. They have what's called a. It's a scrambled program. Okay, so every few minutes, it scrambles the channel to a different channel, but it does it automatically. So it's very difficult for somebody to pick up on your communication. They have very small units. They're usually handheld. It looks like a cell phone. Now, I don't see enough leaders with these things on them. They're like, oh, we don't like the way it looks. I don't care. You can put it in your breast pocket. And if there's a situation, it can buzz.
You're all tactical up right now for the viewers and the listeners. What do you got? What are you wearing there? What do you got? On you, what are you wearing and what do you got going on?
Oh, what I have my shortwave radio on me. It's on my
belt. For the people that are in the car, they can't see you on the TV right now.
I show you one right now. I got an extra one right here. Now this has a longer range, but this has got a 7-day battery life. Okay.
And is that available on Amazon?
Available on Amazon, as a matter of
fact. We'll drop some links in and get some discounts for the folks.
Absolutely. And you can encrypt this, and the battery lasts for 7 days. Now, this is also for disaster preparedness, but they have smaller ones that are thinner, but that you get from, you know, the people
in
the
dark. And you don't need to get a ham radio license for that.
Yeah, not necessarily.
That's kind of what we would use in our world, the GRMS, right? Radios,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
That's a civilian version, right, of that?
Yes, sir. But I'm saying this essential for you as a lady should have one of those in their purse, okay? Because what if
I'm a proponent of the tactical pen. I'll promote that here too. The tactical pen has everything in it.
Okay, and these are also can be for those of you aware for the term EMP, electric magnetic pulse.
Electromagnetic pulse.
They're also EMP shielded. So God forbid, and which can be, a not so good person could take out a transformer that's near the event. Okay. That's going to cause an EMP.
You and I both know that we can set an EMP off locally ourselves with a thumb drive.
Yeah. A large electronic pulse.
We could do a small one to take out an entire server.
They could do targeted with the easiest one, unfortunately, is transformer.
I see you got a friend on stream with you. Hey, Mac, is that a tactical kitty cat? Is that a tactical kitty cat on stream with you?
This is Virgil, my tactical cat. Yes.
All right.
But I'm saying all security op forces, they all have shortwave, okay, as a backup.
Right.
All of them. Do they use cell phones? Sure, but it's not the first line. because
no,
and also they have small EMP devices that they can set off. They're only about 6 feet, but they could take right. all the communication within a 6 or 8 feet area without you knowing right. until it's too late. But anyway,
that's
so that's another layer, Eric.
Right. Are you still there?
I dropped my timer. Okay, now we're in. I dropped my timer. That's all. Sorry.
Okay. Are you timing yourself, Mac? You want me to do the second time?
We got to wrap this up. What we want to emphasize, Eric, is that there's no one thing that's going to be end all be all. Okay. And you don't want to be, and again, right. We're not encouraging paranoia. We're encouraging.
No, this is not paranoid. This is keeping your head on a swivel. 360 times 365.
Preparedness. And there's right. nothing wrong with that.
Right. All right. Well, that's perfect because we're going to segue right into the next one, number five. Community relations and reducing hostility. That's a hot-headed subject right now. That's Here's something rarely said. How's that? Before I go into it, what's that?
That's our fourth layer.
Yeah. Here's something that's rarely said in, obviously, security talks and briefings, but it's about respect, buys, protection, okay? When you engage with humility, when you speak with honesty, when you listen, then more than talk. And I know I like to talk, folks, but I do use my ears and I listen. And my tech over here is nodding her head because I listen to everything she says.
You have very nice ears.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I remember one training session, we taped them down for me. Yeah, why you did that, I don't know. We want to reduce the emotional voltage that brings up and makes this happen. It's like what do they say? Gaslighting a situation, throwing gas on a fire. You don't want to do that. So, Mac, how do we character conduct that is becoming good conduct, but is still an overall good security strategy? That's really where I wanted to go.
In the community?
Yeah, in general.
Okay, well, in the community.
Can you listen to the segment, Mac? Community relations.
I'm not talking about necessarily for security. You need to build relations with your neighbors. You need to build relations with people that go to school with your kids. Do you need to be friends? Right. Not necessarily. But you need to have communication. You need to have a plan. And I'll give you an example. We had an active shooter scare at my son's high school. I was on the news. I was on KOL. That KOLD is the station here. And one of the things that I suggested was parent volunteers, 1 hour shifts. All they do is wear a yellow vest. They're not armed, and they just walk the perimeter. Okay.
Deterrence.
You can do the same thing in your neighborhood. You got a yellow vest on. You're walking your dog. Now, that's going to be a deterrent to anybody because it's going to be like, why they have that yellow vest on? And then once a month, every couple of weeks, you all get together and share best practices of being aware of what's going on in the community. Now, with a politician, we talked about it earlier a little bit. You want to make sure that you're communicating with the people that are going to attend your event. And you want to say in the flyer, we're very excited about that you're going to be here. Could you please do us a favor and just be aware of your
I want to purpose something on your experience, Mac. I know you're not going to say who, but you work directly as a right hand to a former president. Well, you work with several, but one of them, you are very, 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 very engaged with this president. He never came on time to anything, right? You was always a buffer. There's always some kind of reason that he was 5 minutes late, 5 minutes early, or whatever. You have to have that integrated relationship, you have to buffer that with respecting his constituents by not waiting and waiting, right? How do you deal with that? That's kind of what I wanted the folks to know that you were like up there with a good president.
That's kind of you. I was a consultant and I was very grateful to work with two White House administrations. But what I want to say is that on a politician level, on a single level, on a leader level, on a parent level, you just want to make sure that you're aware of your surroundings. You're not on your damn cell phone, okay? When you're out
right, walking with your face in the phone, right?
You're paying attention, okay? You're not on your cell phone. You're going to be distracted sometimes, okay? But put the damn thing on vibrate and put it in your purse and put it in your pocket. Because I showed my sons this in the car the other day. I said, I want you to look down for 10 seconds while we're driving, and I want you to see how far we went.
Now, that's like the shooting range where the targets pop up. You got a second.
You look down for 10 seconds when you're at an event, and something can happen. A lot can happen in 10 seconds. So you have to be aware. And I'm not talking about hypervigilance. I'm sorry.
You gave me something with the 10 seconds, actually, I thought of. And I'm realizing we have a lot of good time left. So we can bring some extra stuff in on the total show. I wanted to ask you, you're a firearms expert. For someone that's going to conceal carry as a civilian, what is the best location for them to conceal carry? Because I thought of that because of the second.
My personal favorite that I recommend to my clients or students or people that ask, it's a fanny pack.
But you don't want to get the one like the NRA. The NRA just sent me my membership. They have that tactical.
It's a tactical fanny pack. Okay. There's a.
What do you think of the belly one with the Velcro?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a fanny
underneath.
Pack.
Underneath. I mean, underneath the belly one with the underneath.
I don't like it because it moves. Personally, I don't like it. Now, here's one. This is a fanny pack.
So you got the American flag on that. That's pretty obvious what that is, man.
No, not really.
Show the folks that are watching.
This is inside.
What kind of weapon is in there? What kind of weapon was that we have today? What do you have to display?
You want to skip this for now?
No, do it. We got time. You're showing it, and you got to describe the front.
In the front, I have an Israeli pressure bandit. God forbid something happens. I also have.
And for the folks that don't know what an Israeli pressure badge is, and that's a hot butted word right now. Israeli bandage is it has self clotting in it. So it helps clot the bleed,
and it
also covering wound.
And it also applies pressure, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I have I've got a knife on here. This is an OTF. You want to explain
what kind
OTF?
Of knife? And what's your knife recommendation for people?
Well, it's legal. It's 3.5 inches.
All right.
You don't have anything over 3-4 inches is four under 4 inches is legal.
And that's that would be state specific though. State specific, right?
I'm sorry.
That's going to be state. I would say that's going to be state specific on individual.
3.5 inches is national. Anything over that is subject to the state laws, but 3.5 is national.
Right. Then now you had a firearm in there. What is your firearm of choice in there?
I have a whistle. Oh, I'll show you. Now this is not necessarily my personal preference, but I like it because it's concealable. It carries 15 rounds. It's got a red dot on it and a light, and that's what I would recommend. So we can go front to back. I've got an Olight. It's got a chart. This charges on the weapon.
And the folks that are, now, what are we red
doing? What are we doing first?
Explain to the people that are listening and watching that when they drop that dot on there, it has to be sighted properly. You can't just drop it on there.
You want to sight it within 15 feet because most close. Over 90% of close quarter incursions, even with law enforcement or people, is within 15 feet.
Right.
All right, so now we're going to move to the front. You got same brand.
It's a Picatinny rail on the bottom. They call that a Picatinny rail.
What do you got? And also a laser.
Light and a laser.
Okay. Now, this particular firearm, I like it because it's concealable. It's short. It's only 3.4 inches. This is called the Smith & Wesson Compact Carry.
Yeah.
It's got a compensator on the front so the muzzle doesn't rise when you fire. But
and you can even say it more because we're discussing a sponsorship with Smith & Wesson, so feel free to talk about the firearm.
Well, I like the grip, okay, but here's the thing we talked about the other day. I'm not going to recommend you a specific firearm. You need to go to a firearm store that has a range. These are three things. Firearm store, they have a range. And you can rent pistols, okay? Because you need
the problem is not every state allows that. That's the problem.
Well, I understand, but you need to try it before you buy it. So go to a gun show. Gun shows are legal in I think all 50 states. Okay.
Right.
So this is the Smith & Wesson M&P 9mm compact carry. Very popular.
Right.
And but very important, what this is unloaded. I check the chamber. I'm not
always assume the firearm is hot. Always assume your firearm
is hot. Make sure it's unloaded.
Right.
But that fits. That fits. It's very short. It's very easy to handle. Holds 15 rounds, one in the chamber, but it's very concealable. When I'm in the store, right, nobody knows that I have it. I have my CCW. Right.
We were talking about this yesterday. Yep. Right? About these people that are walking into Walmart with AR-15s and stuff. And if you're going to carry, be responsible if you can carry. I'm not a big proponent of open carry at all, but you definitely should have a holster if you are, a holster that has security in it. And you should have it, not that somebody else. I saw a video yesterday, Mac, after our conversation of a guy that went into a store. He was in a gas station, and we're good. And went into a gas station, and he was open carrying, and it had no security. And the guy behind him took it from him and shot him with it. Right there on video, I saw it.
You cannot. I don't do open carry. But I mean, if you were going to do open carry, you want to have.
Why would you open carry? Why would you do that?
I would have a.
When people well, firearm, you bring it. My philosophy, and you taught me this.
Arizona, most places has open carry, but here's the thing with open carry.
Oh, wait, let me interrupt you. You taught me something years ago. Years ago. When you open or open carry, obviously on duty certain times we did, right? But you were one of the guys that said when you open carry, you become the target automatically in the location that the bad actor will look to neutralize you first before they do the bad.
100%. That's why law enforcement, FBI, no matter level, if you're talking law enforcement or up to FBI, they all have what's called level 3 holsters. You can't get them.
Explain what a level 3 is for the folks out there.
It's got 3 safety measures. Okay, first you put it in and it clicks. It'll hold it in, okay?
It's what your standard law enforcement officer will have on uniform.
Exactly. It's called a level 3 holster. And it'll have a lever, number 2, that goes over the back of the firearm. And then it has another loop that clicks on top of the firearm.
So and some even have the lanyard attached to it, even so you don't drop it.
Yeah, that's another layer. That's another layer. Sure,
we use that, I guess, downrange overseas.
These folks, law enforcement, to my knowledge, in all 50 states, has to have a level 3 holster.
Right. Now I want to ask you another question. We have some time on this firearm stuff. I just got my NRA stuff in the mail yesterday. Who do you suggest people? For if they're going to get firearms for the insurance coverage and what there's so many associations out there.
Your sponsor that you talked about the other day.
Attorney Shield, they don't handle firearms yet. They are working towards that. They're more in government interaction. I was thinking of like for your concealed carry insurance or whatever.
For now, USCCA, but not the greatest. So look around.
I can tell you that Kyle Rittenhouse, the young man that got into the illegal shooting, whatever people say about him showing up at this thing with a firearm, bottom line is somebody assaulted him. He used his firearm. He ended up on trial. Ultimately, he was cleared, but he was a member of the NRA, and I spoke with him, and I watched an interview, and I actually want to get him on the show. We've actually communicated. He said the NRA let him down. And it was the organization, the Gun Owners of America, actually helped him with legal counsel.
Oh, there you go. That's a good organization as well. USCCA has a monthly fee. You pay it, and apparently they have a number you can call, and they'll call you within 15 minutes. Now,
we were referred to U.S. Law Shield. That's what we were given. I think they kind of had that one down at Flexi, Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Glencoe, in these locations. They always have the signs for U.S. Law Shield, and they cover
also,
all that.
But also to your viewers, they can email you for those sources as well.
Absolutely. And we are speaking with a lot of these organizations who want to work with us on sponsorship. So we might be putting out some special deals on that.
I want to say to your viewers, don't be afraid of firearms, but number one, you have to get training. Do not go buy a firearm without training. You need to get, there's a basic handgun course that you can take for men and women put out by the USCCA. Yep. You rotate them around your area. It's only 3 hours, okay? You need to get that done. Number two, if you're going to carry a firearm, you have to carry something that you're comfortable with that's concealable. That's a step. Okay. You have to know why you want to carry it, how you're going to carry it, when you're going to carry it. If you can't answer all those questions, you have no business carrying a firearm.
Yep. You are 100% right. 100% right. You couldn't have said it. You couldn't have said it better. You always got to assume that it's loaded. You always have to assume. Here's another hot question. We have some time left in the show. Hot question. Do you believe it leaving one in the chamber when you're concealed carrying or not?
Now that's a personal preference. Okay?
Because I think you should be chambered if you are confident in yourself, because that extra second.
It's two things. It's the personal preference and it's training. Okay. Now you and I, we've been trained forever and ever and ever. Okay. But here's the deal. A firearm is something that you have to practice with daily, unloaded. Okay.
Right.
You can do what's called dry fire exercises. This gives you.
Now, isn't that not, I heard that's not good for the weapon. And there is a thing that's out there that you can put in now that actually lets you dry fire it and marks the wall with a flash to let you know if you're actually on point. Have you seen that?
There are several programs, okay? There's the one that I like the best is called Strikeman Pro. They have targets at the other side of the room. You put in the front, and this is separate from Strikeman Pro. You put in a laser cartridge in the barrel.
Yes. Okay?
The weapon is unloaded.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Right? Let's try to get sponsorship on that.
You're not putting a metal cartridge inside the weapon, okay? And then what you're doing is every time you pull the trigger, the vibration sets off the laser. This is a great way to train. You don't use ammunition. It's safe because, again, no ammunition. And you can practice without the auspices of... Now, don't get me wrong. A range is fine, but I like the laser training better. Because
I beg to differ, because I remember you shooting me with chalk several times. And it doesn't feel good, folks.
No.
Even with body armor.
Here's the deal. But here's the deal. For the average person, you know, you want to get some sort of laser training system and you want to practice daily because it's the muscle memory. You are not here's okay. Even in combat.
You can't be afraid of your firearm. You cannot be afraid of it.
Well, even in combat, no, this is my point. Even in combat, no matter how many times we train, we're not prepared. We're better prepared, but we're not fully prepared because you have the fight or flight instinct, okay? That's why as a civilian, you want to practice as often as possible. You want to make sure that the weapons are locked up. You want to make sure that the ammo is locked up at all times, okay? Especially if you have children, they don't need to know where those items are.
Lockboxes.
They need to be unloaded when they're locked up.
Now, you know what? That's a great question you brought up.
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry.
Keep going. But I have a question on. You made me think of something. Finish what you're saying.
Well, you asked me about one in the chamber. I believe if you have the training, you need one in the chamber because you don't have time to react.
Yeah, that's snap. Now to go a step further lock boxes. What's your take on that? Lock boxes are important, but they need to maybe a fingerprint or something like that. You know what I mean? Because you need to have fast action to your firearm.
My systems are three tiered. There's a key. And they all have battery backups. There's a key, a fingerprint, or a combination. And they're fairly inexpensive. Right. What's it called? Crimstone, I think it's called. It's a very reliable.
Have you seen the Retina ones? Just like when you unlock your iPhone?
Sure, but you know, the Retina ones, the problem with the Retina ones, because it's not as sophisticated as the military, obviously. And if there's any light in the room, it interferes with it.
I'm going to date you here, Matt. I'm going to date you. There's a new one out. And you're in the same wheelhouse. You should know this,
sir.
That we can take our iPhone. And I can look at my iPhone and it will remote unlock.
That's great.
Yeah. Through the iPhone.
I think. Now, whatever device you have. Everything that Eric and I are talking about comes down to personal preference. There's no pressure here. We just want to give you options so you can make the right choice for yourself.
Right. Right. Well, we're coming almost to a hard close. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to talk about whatever you want. You can make fun of me over my years of you beating me up in training or whatever.
Well, five The thing that I want to emphasize is for the number one, our political leaders and their security teams, they need to do a better job of the three-tiered system, and they need to engage the fourth tier, which is what we were talking about, which is the community. You know, as far as I don't want to badmouth any of these organizations, but you had two failures, you know, very recently. Poor man Charlie Kirk lost his life. And then in Butler, Pennsylvania, you have a president that is almost assassinated. Now, this is way too close for me. Also, number three is these shootings, okay? With situational awareness and the community involved, I believe that, like, when that guy walked into the building in New York, a lot of people saw him. Nobody called, dialed 911.
You're talking about the Black Rock, where he went into Black Rock in New York City?
I mean, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
And then everybody is hand-wringing, oh, poor me. Well, you know,
if you said this, we talked about it yesterday, and I was waiting. I saved this for me. You were talking about advanced AI tools, and I saved this right here. I'm bringing it out. Remember these?
Yeah.
Playing cards for the folks at home. Operation Iraqi Freedom playing cards. And on each playing card has a bad guy's name and their position. This was our facial recognition at the time. You know, and this what you were just prefacing is the advanced stuff. This was advanced at the time, these playing cards. I love these playing cards. You still have a set of these?
And also, and here's another thing. Everybody has access to ChatGPT, okay?
Don't trust it.
You may not use the advanced one or some sort of AI, okay? A simple AI program. Before you go to an event, you can ask the AI, are there any persons of interest in the area that are, you know, potentially bad people? You want to put persons of interest because the AI will understand that.
And you should probably know this already if you're being probably targeted online. You should know what's being said.
It will give you, like, for example, they have now where pedophiles can be located in your neighborhood with their addresses. Okay, the same thing with persons of interest. When you go to an event, like you're going to go to a street fair, okay? What persons of interest live within the city of Tucson that potentially could be at the event? You're going to get pictures and you're going to get names, okay? Now, this is not to tag these people. This is not to make you paranoid. This is to make you...
Just keeping your eye open.
Just to make you...
360, 365. You know what's funny? We were talking yesterday, Matt. My mom did that to me as a kid. I had a stupid job interview the next day. She's like, you're going to be late. So the day before, go and site it out. Map out the route that you're going to get there. See your potential traffic areas and whatnot. That's essentially what we all should be doing in every part of our life. You know?
When I would take the kids to a new event when they were younger, I always made a trip ahead of time to see the different routes, the different exits. It's an advanced, it's like an advanced team. The Secret Service does this on a daily, hourly basis, okay? You can do it for your kids and your family. It's not a big deal, especially when, like,
we have some fun tools, though, Mac. We have some, and I still have a bunch of them that we still use and I get to have access to. That tells me that roads that don't exist on Google Maps, roads that don't exist on Apple Maps, and I can see it in real time if I need to go someplace. This is imperative stuff. You only would know that if you were going to advance. Team, but we have access to these things to see real world. And there's roads that are there that are not on Google Maps, that are not on Apple or on Waze or whatever.
There's a lot of programs out there that will, you can ask the program if you have alternate routes that are available.
Right.
So that's another layer.
They can also reach out to you. For consulting, they can ask you.
Hi, I will show you how to get to school.
Anything else you want to put out there, Mac?
Well, I think it's just really important that you're constantly aware when you're driving the kids to school, when you're going to church, and it's the same thing for politicians. You know, you want to be aware at all. You're in a position of responsibility, not only to your constituents, but yourself and your family.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I think they're trying to communicate on the screen to you here. She's typing something. Are you looking on your screen? I don't know.
She said, she said credibility.
Yeah. Credibility is key.
And credibility is building communication. If you're a political leader, building communication with your team. That's you're establishing credibility and communication with the people closest to you. Same thing with your neighbors. I don't care if you don't like your neighbors. When you see them, you walk up to them, you introduce yourself. You say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I've lived here this long. You know, if you need anything, don't hesitate to contact me. Are they going to do that? Maybe not. Yeah. Same thing when you go to school. You want to have credibility in your community. You want to have credibility at your church. You want to have credibility at your work. And Eric and I are talking about, you know, putting a whole program together for different businesses so they can be trained in situational awareness, personal safety, the safety for the organization. Because it's muscle memory. You have to practice it on a daily basis. This is not like taking the Christmas tree out of the closet once a year, the artificial Christmas tree. You need to do this on a daily basis because after a while it becomes habit. How long does it take to become a habit, Eric?
Over and over and over again.
There you go.
Over and over.
Again, we're not recommending you be paranoid. We're recommending you be prepared.
Right.
And that's all prepared I have to say, Mr. Sinati.
Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Come on, you got more than that. We got like 2 minutes.
2 minutes? That's a long time. Well, let me ask you.
It's a pleasure to have you on here. It's a pleasure to have you here instead of beating me up or torturing me on drills and or whatever.
Well, I want to remind your audience of the incredible background and experience that you have. You're a disabled veteran, okay? You were hurt in service. You were hurt in service to this country. You still have a law degree. You're a constitutional scholar. You have 2 master's degrees. You're constantly doing community outreach. This particular show that you have is unprecedented. You're giving from your background and experience for the people at home to get the type of information that you're providing to them is unprecedented.
I think you get to better understand that because you are a trainer of mine and you have that knowledge of me, and maybe the folks don't see that.
You're a lawyer. Anybody can understand you're a very credible constitutional scholar. I can't tell you how many times that Eric and I have discussed the Constitution, for example, the actions by certain executive members in accusing other members of sedition, for example, and then speaking out. We talked about the particulars as far as law. I learned a volume of information in a very short period of time. Eric is a plethora. He's like an encyclopedia, but for the average person. And that's very
I try important. To break it down. I really do. I don't want to sound like that book. And I think Rose will say that too. But I can jump from counterintelligence to intelligence to risk assessment. And I try to break it down to the people. And people see that. You know what's funny? I'm glad you said that, Matt, because people see that I have all these different things. And a guy like, you know me. You've trained me. You know that I have these skills and these things. Some people learn a lot and they are engaged in a lot. And I guess in our wheelhouse, our world, we have to be knowledgeable and trained in a lot of areas.
Yeah,
we have to have a lot of things under our belt.
But Eric, most broadcasters don't have nearly the amount of experience in these different areas that you do. I mean, you're a brilliant person. How many? I don't know. I don't know many lawyers and constitutional scholars in all in one person. And then you've been appointed to different councils and in intelligence in the community, you're in the intelligence community, you're very well recognized. What does that mean for the average listener, the average person? If you're listening to a talk, I'm sorry, but I don't mean to devalue newscasters, but you're talking to a talking ed who has maybe a bachelor's or a master's degree, and they're talking about a particular subject, you're not getting the depth of information and the background and the forethought in the communication, as you do from
everyone. Right. You know what I find very hard, and like we have a minute, I'm glad you brought that up. I find it very hard because of the classifications and things of what we can and can't say, and you know how stupid that our national security NDA is, 100-year lifetime or whatever, and then you got to go through DOPSA and in DC, the defense, the stuff to release information and talk. You know, it's very hard to pontificate to the people that I do kind of know something I'm talking about, they'd rather lie and say something online that I can't actually come out and defend. And I appreciate that you did that for me. Thank you.
The truth is the truth, my friend. The truth is the truth.
I mean, they're going to lie. You know what? You know why they lie? You know why they lie? Because you're going to be running my security detail when I run for Congress.
Fake news.
And we'll win. We'll win. Well, you know what? We're coming to a hard close, Mac, but you're going to be a regular guest. We're going to have you on because I want to go over more of this Charlie Kirk stuff and the threat against Candace Owens and other things because it's important. Tell the folks how they can reach you if they want to contact you for some tactical advice, some risk assessment or whatever, firearms training.
The best two places you can get through to us through Jarhead Tactical on YouTube and our Jarhead Tactical podcast on iHeart and Spreaker. Those are the best two places for contact.
Right. And you can always reach out to me, Eric, at ericandrewsonati.com through the show, and I will happily put you to together with Mac. We have a professional relationship. He has tortured me in training over years, and we have a great relationship. So I will definitely connect you. Mac, thank you for being here. Thank you very much. I really do think it was a wonderful experience.
Thank you for having me on, Eric. I'm honored to be here.
It's my pleasure. You're going to be back. Be ready. All right. Stay in the green room. We'll chat. Well, folks, what an episode. Did you like it, Rose? Good episode? Yeah. I'm glad that we rolled through. It was important, folks, because this just isn't about paranoia. We're not trying to say, oh, be scared and be worried. Just need to be cognizant of what's going on. It's about being prepared. It's about leadership that stays visible. Because if you're going to be a leader, you need to understand that you are a target and you are vulnerable. But not only are you vulnerable, but so is your family and those that come to see you and listen to you. And that's part of leadership. That's part of leading. Because leadership in this country should not be a suicide mission. It should not be. We need good people to come forward and go into positions of elected positions and other positions in leadership. It has to be done. And we cannot be scared off by bad actors who want to do that. This is what countries do. But it's espionage. It's espionage when they attempt to scare the public so good people don't come forward. What was it? Edmund Burke. The only thing necessary for evil is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. Because leadership in this country is not a suicide mission. Bottom line. Be bold enough to stand up and speak. All right. Be bold enough, but also be bold enough to be safe when you're in the public and to be safe with your family. As a veteran, I didn't take my oath to see this nation collapse. And I definitely didn't do that thinking that I was going to be afraid under threats or fear. As a lawyer, I didn't study the Constitution to watch it disintegrate and become weak and nothing and just a piece of paper. And as a father, I will not allow my son to grow up in a country where courage goes unanswered and service gets you shot. So I say this, and hear me, I say this. Build your security team, control your movement, lock down your digital space, read the room, and treat the community like people, not like enemies. Let's bring down the hostility. Because when we can do that, we will preserve something sacred. We will preserve something sacred. The ability to serve without surrendering our safety. Folks, I thank you so very much for being here almost the Hostile Zone. That's my other show. Oops, typo there. With Eric A. Sonati Unplugged, I thank you. I truly do. We thank you very much. I read your emails. If I didn't respond to some people, I apologize. I do the best that I can. I'm glad that we discussed real-world security today. We're going to have Mike back on. We're going to have somebody on to talk about specifically about church security as well. Because we're not just talking about theories here, folks. We're talking to you about how to be safe. I'm Eric A. Sonati, and this is Unplugged. No handlers, no filters, just an honest fight for America. God bless you, and God bless America. See you tomorrow night.